You're listening to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. This is the intro to the intro, which can only mean one thing. We've got a very special guest. And today, we are joined in our Twin Peaks Grey Lodge with special guest, Mary Reber, a.k.a. Alice Tremond. That's right, from the Twin Peaks world. This is my first interview with a Twin Peaks official star and actress in the show. You know I'm obsessed with Twin Peaks. If you're on the supporter feeds, you know we've been going through every single episode in the Grey Lodge series. And today, we're joined by Mary Reber. In case you didn't know, my lovely wife Josie and I headed up to Everett, Washington to interview Mary inside the official Laura Palmer home. The dreams were made. They were completed that day. Mary shared with us her journey into the mysterious world of Twin Peaks. And we're going to hear about how she ended up buying this iconic Laura Palmer home where the Twin Peaks was filmed. And if you're a Twin Peaks geek, you know that bits and pieces were shot in the interior, exterior, but all of The Fire Walk With Me, which is one of the greatest films of all time. I watched it 3 times heading up there. I watched it once on the plane, once there in Snoqualmie, and once coming home. True story. And then, of course, season 3. Now, we're going to hear about some amazing synchronicities in the timing of her purchasing this home, along with the preparation for season 3 from David Lynch and Mark Frost. We're going to talk about her experience watching Twin Peaks before she bought the home and what it's like actually hanging out with David Lynch, hanging out with these iconic stars from Twin Peaks. And then the ultimate is to become a character in the world of Twin Peaks. We're going to hear Mary's take on a variety of things. She's going to talk to us about Wisteria. I don't know if I like what she told me, but hey, you know, she's more plugged in than I am. And so we got an update on the Wisteria hysteria, some interesting behind the scenes of season 3, a.k.a. Twin Peaks The Return. She floats some different ideas that support the theory of Laura Palmer as the goddess, as the one, the anomaly, and what it's like opening up your home for all the Twin Peaks fans to come and take a look at where Laura Palmer lived. She's going to talk about the previous owner, various iconic symbols from the show, like the fan, which is in the home. Yes, you can go check it out for yourself. Laura's bed, the mirrors in the living room, some wild stuff about the photos of Laura Palmer, the experience of attending the premiere of season 3, and then what it was like for her to watch all of season 3, knowing that she was going to be in the show. And arguably the most important scene in the entire Twin Peaks world. Yes, it's true. And on that note, I got to tell you, because I know a lot of you are new to Twin Peaks and you're just following along in the Grey Lodge with me, there's going to be plot spoilers, but it's going to be around the 43-minute mark. I'm going to put a noise effect with an audible warning in there. So if you haven't seen all of season three, Twin Peaks The Return, then you're going to have the plot spoiled if you listen to the whole show. And with that, I have to note that I had to maneuver. There was just like one or two little sections where we kind of plot spoiled, and I found a way to cleverly push those to the back end of the show so that you can enjoy, you know, like I said, about the first 43 minutes of it, of me and Mary's conversation in her living room, in the Laura Palmer home. Unbelievable. But yeah, I'll put that audible noise alert. So if you haven't seen all of season 3, that's the part you're probably going to want to check out. Now, if you listen to it, is it going to ruin all of Twin Peaks? I don't know. I mean, people have seen all of it and they're still confused as to what happened there at the end. So your choice, right? And listen, in the show notes, we're going to have her social media handles for you to follow. And then I'm going to put a link to a Breaking Social Norms episode I did with Josie where we talked about our trip up there. So be sure to check out the show notes for more on that. Also, one more thing, and we're going to get into it soon. Also, one more thing. You're going to hear how excited I was to be in the home. I was a bit starstruck. Guilty as charged. But it was so surreal to me, and it still is. It's like a dream within a dream, because Twin Peaks has been in my head. I've been visiting this home in my mind for a full year. And to be inside of it is just, it's incredible. I mean, I remember while we were there, we hung out for a long time. And Mary was great. She was so fun to hang out with. If you're listening, Mary, thank you very much. I'd like to consider her a friend. I remember I went to the bathroom. I was washing my hands in it, and it hit me, you know? I was in the bathroom where Laura in Fire Walking Me, she's scrubbing her hands and crying. Like, it's crazy to me, you know? And if that house tour is fire. If you like Twin Peaks, I couldn't recommend it enough. Especially once you finish all of Twin Peaks and you realize how important the Laura Palmer home is into the entire storyline. To walk through all of these iconic scenes is a trip, right? And it's great because it's not a museum. It's not like stuff behind glass. Like, Mary lives there. There's an energy in the home. And for as dark as Twin Peaks can be, it was only good vibes. It was incredible. So yeah, you got to do it. Go up there. And David Israel has a Twin Peaks tour that was insanely great too. But yeah, if you're into Twin Peaks, you got to do these things. I want to go back and do it again. That's real talk. That's not me trying to, you know, sell this. I'm telling you, like, it was incredible. Anyhow, let's get into it. We've got a lot of great stuff to hear about. So yeah, and thanks again, Mary. You're definitely one of the coolest people I've ever met. Can't wait to hang out again. I'll hit you guys on the other side. Hi, everybody. This is Isaac. And you know where we are. We are in Mary Reber's lovely home. Should I say it's Mary Reber's home or the Laura Palmer house or both? How do you like
or
to look at this, Mary?
You can say the Reber Tremond Chalfont home.
There you go.
Because they still have their presence here. So.
All right. Now, Mary, there's a lot of things I want to talk to you about today.
Okay.
I think the best place we should start would be, let's talk about your journey. How do you end up in this iconic home? We can go back as far as you want. You can cover whatever aspect you want. But, you know, a lot of people are going to say that's fascinating because a lot of people in the Twin Peaks world, as you already know, are obsessed with the show. It's a important part of their life. So I'm interested how you got in here. I kind of know that, you know, you've done interviews before, but there's going to be some of the audience that's new to this whole thing. Would you mind sharing the story about how you ended up here?
Sure. My ex and I had raised our kids in Edmonds, Linwood, Washington, and we were finally empty nesters and decided to finally, like, just purchase a home. And I knew that you could get more bang for the buck up in Everett. I mean, they were selling homes for really big homes for really, really good prices back in the day when you were able to afford them. And so we were just looking online at some different homes in the area, and there was one up the street that caught my eye, and they decided not to take our offer. And then I looked online and found this one, and I didn't know it was the Laura Palmer home because I hadn't watched Fire Walk With Me.
Did you grow up in this area of Seattle?
I'm actually from the Midwest. Okay. I'm actually from Wisconsin. Go Packers. I moved out here like in the early 80s.
Okay.
So
you were here during the Twin Peaks fame.
Yes. Okay. But I was raising small kids at the time.
Okay.
So I wasn't able to watch it. I was watching things like Dallas and Falcon Crest and all that kind of stuff. And I remember the music coming on, but I didn't partake in watching Twin Peaks at the time.
Okay.
Yeah, I had only started watching it like 5 years before.
Before you bought the home?
Before I bought the home. So I didn't have to wait. So I didn't have to wait the 25 years like everybody else did.
Okay.
So that was a bonus.
So wait a minute. So are you saying that, so what made you watch it? So you bought the home in 2014, is that right?
2014, September of 2014, yeah. And then that's the time when the Mark Frost and David Lynch put out a Twitter on the same day at the same time saying The Gum You Like is going to come back. And there was talks of David wanting to do 18 parts. CBS wanted to do like half the amount. So it was kind of up and down whether Twin Peaks was going to come back or not. And then when I saw the Twitter, and then we had purchased this home, 2014 September, and then we were out running some errands, came back, and there was a notice at the door, said, "We want to film a movie at your house."
Wait a minute. So the day, you say the day you bought the home or you closed on it?
We closed on it in September. The notice at the door was around November.
No kidding.
And in between were those tweets from David and Mark.
Oh, that's about, so bizarre.
Yeah. So all that was just starting to kind of happen again. And the notice at the door, we came home to that, and it said, you need to contact the location guy right away. So we contacted him. He came out that night. Still didn't tell us what it was going to be because it was still a secret. Everything all the way through this journey was a secret.
So you didn't. So you just had a note from someone from Hollywood. They said, hey, we're interested in this house for some project.
Exactly.
Oh, interesting. But you already knew this was the Laura Palmer home.
I figured. Yeah. I mean, I even made a joke about taking a white horse upstairs because I already knew it was Twin Peaks.
Okay.
But
okay.
The guy just kind of chuckled and goes, yeah, well, maybe. But it was very mysterious, very secretive from the beginning.
Okay.
Which really caught my attention. So he came out that night and just basically said, a director from Hollywood will be coming out on the 1st of January. And I didn't think David Lynch would come himself to look at Tweeds and the Palmer House just to see if it would work. Mm-hmm. I thought he'd send somebody.
Yeah.
So January 1st comes up and we look outside and there's that gray hair popping up out of the car, and it was David Lynch. And,
oh, wow. That's incredible. Yeah. So, okay, before we go further into the story, so what sparked you to watch the show, in, 5 years before you bought the home? Because I thought you hadn't watched the show. You found this home, and we're like, oh, this is a beautiful home, and like, oh, just so happens this was on that show I'd heard about, and then you watched this. What I thought the sequence of events was.
How it happened was my son, who just passed last year, just said, Mom, you really need to watch this show. So he had seen it. I remember it, but I never saw it personally.
Okay.
So he said, you need to see this. So I started watching it, absolutely fell in love with it.
Now, what was his journey with Twin Peaks? Did he watch it in 1991?
No, he was just a little guy then. I wouldn't have let him do that.
Oh, okay.
But he just got this. He just had heard about it and he wanted to watch it. Kind of a new crop of younger people that I'm noticing mm-hmm. is kind of stepping into the Twin Peaks realm.
Interesting.
And wanting to watch. I mean, I've got 12-year-olds, 16-year-olds. The average age is about 40 because these are people that saw it when they were little.
Yeah, that's what bums me out because I was about 10 or 11 when it came out and it wasn't on my radar at all.
Which is way too young as far as I'm concerned.
Probably.
With the content, but then nobody knew what the content was because you watched it live along with everybody else.
Yeah.
So you really didn't, you know.
Yeah, sometimes it's really campy and silly. Then other times it's really dark and you're like, wait a minute,
exactly,
what?
Exactly.
Okay. Interesting. Okay, so because I've been really intrigued by the idea of synchronicity and... You know, I'm a Christian worldview, but I'm mm-hmm. also open to the idea, like new age ideas and occult mm-hmm. ideas of the universe sort of mm-hmm. melding to things.
Mm-hmm.
I just find it intriguing that your son watched it, so much so that he told you, like, you should watch this.
Exactly. Oh, he was in love with it.
And then it was years later, you find this home.
And he's a musician. Yeah, it's crazy how the universe works. But he's a musician, and the music in Twin Peaks is incredible.
Yeah.
Angelo Badalamenti is just, he's a genius. So he and David corroborating on this was just, I mean, it was insanely good. But he just said, you need to watch this. So I thought, okay, I'll watch it. Fell in love with it and just, like, binge watched.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, it was strange. I didn't want to buy this house because it was Laura Palmer's house. It was our first house. My ex said I can fix it up. It really needed a lot of work. The lady that we bought it from was the lady that was here when they filmed the first time around. So, and they didn't advertise this house as the Twin Peaks house, which was really surprising to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they just wanted to sell it. She was ready to move on to a retirement home and, it, like I say, it needed a lot of work, and my ex did fix it up.
Uh huh. Yeah, it's amazing. It's beautiful.
Well, it's almost 100 years old.
Really?
100 years old. It was built in 1923.
Wow. Yeah.
So
along with that,
you've got the boiler downstairs that you have to change out, and just different things in the home. The heating system had to be upgraded, but we still have the radiators.
Mm-hmm.
All these. In fact, people walk in through the door and see the radiator and start crying. because they can see that in Fire Walk with Me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, they just start crying.
See, and I'm new enough. That's another question I have is I want to... My mind is racing in so many directions. So on... Okay, let's finish talking about how you got into the home. And I do want to talk to you about like the Twin Peaks experience for you of watching it, like how many times you've watched it and those kinds of questions. So you buy the home in 2014, unbeknownst to you, Frost and Lynch are kind of toying with the idea that they're going to film here again.
Right.
You get a note saying someone's coming here and here shows up David Lynch. What does that look like? You answer the door and you're standing there and you recognize David Lynch, right? I mean...
Yeah, I knew somebody was coming from Hollywood, and the car pulls up, and it was David Lynch and Sabrina Sutherland and Scott Cameron, who is David's first AD. And they come to the front door, and David, in all of David's glory, I mean, he's definitely not a small talker, really bright man, walks in and says, wow, they don't make him like this anymore. And then look to the left, and where the big green tree was in the pilot. And remembered that from 25 years before and said, wasn't there a big green tree over there? And it's like, ah, nice meeting you, David, but he's into the tree looking at the, you know, what belongs in the corner from the pilot. So he's not a small talker, but he just kind of walked through the house. I said, do you want to see the fan? And he said, no, that's fine. And I was really disappointed because I wanted to show David the fan.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to see it. And so we just walked through. He just wanted to make sure, especially in the living room here, is where they filmed season 3, just wanted to make sure, you know, everything was like up to par with what he was looking for. And again, I didn't know what he was looking for because everything was a mystery. So he spent about 30, 45 minutes here. And then my question to him was, David, I have a question for you. And he goes, well, we're not answering too many questions, not talking about it. And I said, well, Gordon Cole was my favorite character. Is Gordon Cole going to be in this? And he kind of looked at me and he goes, well, we're not really talking too much about it. But then he did the old thumbs up.
Oh,
like,
yeah?
Like Gordon does. So I thought, yay.
Nice.
So I thought that was cool.
That is cool. All right.
And then he just said that we would be in touch. And yeah, and then they came out again in April, July, and then filmed in October.
Oh, that's right. You did say, because for the people listening, it's October 6th, 2023. And you said that they were filming around this sort of week of the month. Is that?
They did Hawk and Sarah's scenes on October 7th, which would be tomorrow. So that's that anniversary. And then the finale was filmed on the 9th.
Oh, okay, cool. So, right on.
Yeah.
Huh. And okay, so let me go backwards a little bit for you. So how many times had you had watched season 1, season 2, and Fire Walk with Me around 2014? How many times did you see it?
Yeah, you know, I'd only seen it, I'd probably have seen everything through about maybe twice, and that was about maybe 2 or 3 years before we bought the house.
Okay.
It hadn't been that long.
Okay.
So... I mean, I thought it was pretty cool and everything, but again, it wasn't why I bought it.
Yeah, and I feel like that because when I watched it through the first time, I wasn't really in love with it. I didn't. In fact, I had tried watching it many times because when I started blogging in 2011 about these topics, and I had so many. Every now and then, it would pop its head up. Someone would comment, "You got to watch Twin Peaks. You got to watch Twin Peaks." And just I constantly said, "Okay, all right, give it a shot. It'd be on Netflix or something." I'd start the pilot. Within 30, 40 minutes, I'm falling asleep. And I'm like, this is stupid.
Oh, my gosh.
Crazy, huh?
Yeah.
It's crazy that happened.
Right.
So, I mean, I bet I tried 5 times to watch the show just by the sheer volume of requests I got for it. And it was overwhelming because I was like, man, there's like 2 seasons and a movie. Ugh, all right. And it was when I got sick on Halloween of last year. I ended up with like I got COVID for the first time on Halloween. I woke up with it at 22 and it screwed me up. And I had a weird sinus infection for like 6 months. I was just sick for like 6 months. It was a nightmare.
Wow.
And it was in December. I watched The Wraith, which is like an 80s movie with
Charlie Sheen, mm-hmm. and Sherilyn Fenn.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And I'm looking at the cast and crew notes because I'm kind of a nerd like that. I like looking at who's in the movie and what they did, because I was actually looking at the bad guy looked very familiar in the movie. And that's what made me pull up the cast and crew. And I see Sherilyn Fenn and I'm like, oh, she was in that Twin Peaks show. Like, I should watch that.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was so bored. I was just on the couch watching TV for months. And then I think it was around January I started it up again. Fell asleep on and off again through the whole thing. And I got through every bit of it by all of season three by March. And I felt a little indifferent about it. I thought, I don't know, maybe I should do a little examination of this, but it's too much to cover. And I'd have to watch it again. I don't know if I'm going to sit through another 50 hours of this. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to. And I started going back to watching what I want to watch, and horror movies and things like that. And every time I'd watch some, I'd make it about 20, 30 minutes into a new movie, and I'd be like, I'm still thinking about Twin Peaks. So I ended up just going back through, and then the third time through
it was
when
calling
I
you.
It was. Yeah. It does something
right,
to you.
Right, right.
I don't know what it is, and it's not just me.
It injects its magic.
It really does. Yeah. There's something bizarre about it, and there I don't is. Understand it. So you watched it a couple times through. Obviously, you were interested in it. The home shows up for sale, and you get into it, and Lynch comes by. It just so happens to be like, hey, by the way, I'm going to film some more of this project I'm working.
Right.
We're now January 1st, 2015, right?
Yes.
And you said by October of 15, they come through. And at what point do you know that we're talking Twin Peaks season three? Like, when do they tell you, when do they let you in on that?
Oh, you know, as soon as David showed up. I mean, my ex and I knew it was Twin Peaks. It's like, it doesn't happen very often that people stop by here and want to film something here. Just the fact that David Lynch showed up, I knew it was Twin Peaks.
Mm-hmm.
And they vaguely touched on that. It wasn't that much of a secret at that point. I think it was out in the news that they were going to film again.
Oh, okay.
So that coupled with them being here and everything, we knew it was Twin Peaks.
Oh, so the news was talking about how they're filming season three.
Yes.
Oh, because
once
right now
they had reached a deal that
okay.
that they would give David, I think, free rein to as many episodes as he needed to direct. I think then it was definitely a go, and it was in the news.
Oh, because like right now he's working on a project called Wisteria. I don't know if you follow that at all.
No, that's not necessarily true.
Oh.
That's not necessarily true. I know that there's a guy that is out there that likes to start rumors and stuff, but that's not necessarily, I mean, I personally don't know. And if I did, I wouldn't be talking to you about it right now.
Okay.
But as far as I know, I mean, no, I don't think that that's been.
Oh, okay. Oh, interesting.
I don't think that's fact.
Okay. Oh, yeah. The mystery continues.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Although just to tease people, I did get a picture of Wisteria and posted it on my site just to kind of.
Oh, see, you're the one to blame for this then.
So I'm horrible that way. Yes, I kind of played into it a little bit, and then somebody goes, "Oh, all these people from Twin Peaks are throwing these Wisteria pictures online."
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Well, I mean, that's fun for me. I love doing this.
Okay.
Like that,
all right. So. Okay. Well, the mystery continues.
It does.
All right. So, okay. So they show up in October. You now know it's season three. Because I've heard that what they do is they might hand people scripts and, well, okay. Sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. They show up in October to film. And what do they tell you to do? Do they show up and they say, okay, you need to leave the home?
No. So basically, David was here three times before filming. So David was here in January. He came again in April. That's when he asked me if I wanted to do a small part.
Okay. Yeah, that's where I was trying to get to. Okay.
And he said it's not for sure. I mean, he had to do his thing and make sure it was cool with him. And then they showed up again in July. And at that point, I had my script. And he just came walking up the stairs and he goes, you ready to act? And I go, I guess. So, and then basically from that point on, then I knew that filming was going to be October 7th and 9th. They were here for almost 2 weeks filming. I got to live here while they, you know, when they rent your house, they rent your whole house. And so the whole neighborhood was full of like trucks and, you know, trucks for, you know, the electricians, the sound people. And so it was quite an ordeal. There was like when they're working in your house, there's sometimes 25, 30 people in there at the same time.
Oh, wow.
So
they were here for almost two weeks. Oh, 'cause they were like prepping and sort of, I don't know.
Like they had to pretty much take everything out of the living room, put cardboard down, put gold carpet, basically transform the room into Fire Walk With Me.
Oh, okay.
So basically Sarah has not changed anything in the room and she's living in the room. So that's what they had to, you know, make the room look like. So these curtains you're looking at are set curtains. The curtains are set curtains. And then they had a nicotine stain the whole room.
Okay.
And then...
So are you watching this because you had fixed up this whole house already at this point, right?
I've got pictures. Yeah, I've got pictures of what the room looked like when they were done. And it was intense. I mean, down to putting carpet down and staining the carpet, taking a picture, sending it to David to make sure that it was what he wanted. And outside, if the inside is dilapidated, the outside has to be as well. So they had to put tarp down over the whole front lawn and put dead grass, fake grass over the front to make it look like it was dead grass.
Okay.
And then they put fake bushes in towards the windows and painted those as well. So when you're looking at it in Hawk scenes, you can tell that the house on the outside looks just as bad as it does on the inside.
Oh, because the idea that they sort of present in season three is that Sarah Palmer, I don't know if spiraling is the right term. She's kind of like not doing good, like in the 25 years since the events.
No, because her scene is she's moaning, which was almost freakier than Laura's scream. She's moaning, walks into the living room, grabs Laura's picture, throws it down on the floor and starts stabbing it. She's a mess.
Yeah.
And taking the TV set that they used, which was mine, put it in front of the aesthetically beautiful fireplace, which is the focal point of the room. That gives you an idea of where Sarah's at mentally.
Oh, interesting. I never caught that. Yeah.
So
yeah.
The TV's in front of the fireplace and what she's watching basically shows you how much she has deteriorated.
She's
watching those animals and the boxers on a loop and everything else. It kind of shows you where she's at. So, and the picture that she grabbed and stabbed was actually my picture of Laura that I've had for a while. So I said, you guys owe me another picture. So they gave me a better quality picture, and then I had Cheryl sign it. Cheryl was kind enough to sign it for me as well.
Oh, man.
So
What happened to the stabbed photo? Where's that?
You know,
did
it's
you get
funny,
to keep that?
But in Twin Peaks, whenever anybody had Laura's photo, the photo itself never got destroyed. The glass maybe did.
Mm-hmm.
But the photo itself never was destroyed.
No
which
way.
Which is part of the mystery, too. So
what?
Yeah. Yeah. If you go back and look, you could just do a study on that.
Wait a minute. Are you saying like that's just part of the mythology or that's like something that really happened where like in real life, the photos never get damaged even though
you can take away whatever you want to.
Oh, wow.
No,
oh,
I think just from what I've noticed, the picture of Laura was never destroyed, but the casing was.
Oh, that's bizarre.
Which it's kind of cool how that fits into the whole, Twin Peaks theme.
Yes.
Is that the outside was destroyed, the glass was shattered, but her picture still remained.
Huh. Oh, that's so fascinating.
Ooh.
Yeah, because I see a lot of, you know, and I'm still fleshing out my theories of what is going on with the Twin Peaks story. I see parallels because I do a lot of film analysis of different things, and the Matrix story has always spoken to me. It's a Gnostic tale about the Savior, the one who saves, you know, the good and evil battle thing. And I mean, I see so many parallels with Laura Palmer's story.
There's a lot.
That adds like some mystique to that idea.
Yeah. There's even a picture of Cheryl standing in front of the front door here at the house with the heart wreath that's kind of just off center a little bit. And somebody had said, it's like there's beauty on the outside, but on the inside of everything, there's always something that's corrupted. Mm. So you see this beautiful gal, you see this beautiful wreath on this beautiful house, and the inside is corrupted. Mm. But that's kind of like Blue Velvet, too. It's just like you see this white picket fence and the rose and everything else, and then deep down you find this ear with the bugs crawling around on it. So there's corruption underneath everything.
Interesting. Have you seen all of the David Lynch films?
I have not. I knew you were going to ask me that. There's a few I haven't seen yet, not for any particular reason. But I have seen Mulholland Drive. I've seen Blue Velvet.
Okay.
Those are the only two. I still need to see the other ones.
You haven't seen Wild at Heart?
Straight Story. No, I haven't seen Wild at Heart.
Oh, okay.
So I've got some homework to do.
Yeah, Wild at Heart's pretty good. I haven't seen. I bought Inland Empire. I haven't seen it yet. There's a bunch. I watched Eraserhead not too long ago because I actually grew up. I watched Lost Highway when I was a teen, simply because of the soundtrack. I was really into that, Nine Inch Nails industrial music.
Yeah,
which I still am. But I watched it and it was really bizarre as a kid. I was just like, that was weird, and that was about it. And I was never really into David Lynch. It just seemed too, because sometimes with these like abstract avant-garde artists, sometimes I just think they're just trying to be weird to be weird. Like, it's not that interesting to me.
He's got so much meaning.
But there's David
so
Lynch is meaning. Something else. Yes.
Yeah.
Same with David Bowie. I love David Bowie, and there's something about it.
David just has a keen sense for who he has acting. He gets this idea in his head. Like, he doesn't do the typical audition where you stand there and read from a script. He uses a lot of people that are just ordinary people. I'm very ordinary. The guy at the trailer park that was giving blood to make money, talking to Harry Dean Stanton at the beginning of season 3, he's the real manager of the trailer park.
Oh, really?
He gets people that are really, I mean, he gets this idea in his head of who he wants, and just by talking to you, listening to the cadence in your voice, looking at like your personality and your movements and stuff, does that person fit my image of who I have in my head? And he's had some pretty interesting characters in his movies. Yeah.
I think I'm not an artist kind of guy. Like I went to college for engineering, which is kind of the opposite end of the spectrum. But my wife's more of the artist type. There's something interesting about when you study the occult. There's this idea of art and creativity and looking into where that comes from and sort of channeling. I mean, it gets deep, but what's interesting to me is that I'm always drawn to I like the sort of raw, like punk rock. It's really unpolished. Mm-hmm. There's something I like about that. There's something I like about when people aren't great at something. And I didn't really understand that until I heard Kanye West, of all people, say, I think it was Kanye West, he said something about how the quality of art is in the imperfections. Mm-hmm. And that means a lot to me. And actually, me and Josie here watched Fire Walk With Me yesterday.
Did you really?
Oh, man, it was so great. We were at the Salish Inn in Snoqualmie, and it was perfect. Hazy and foggy whatever.
Yeah, you guys are true geeks. Oh, I love it.
I'm in deep now.
I respect you for that.
Thank you. And she was watching it, and I think it was the first time you'd watched it, like, the whole way through, because you would walk in on me watching. I've seen it probably 6 times since February, which is absurd. And Chris Isaac plays the Chet Desmond, right?
Yeah, he's great.
And she was like, hey, is that Chris Isaac? I go, yeah, it's Chris Isaac. And from what I recall hearing somewhere, I've consumed so much Twin Peaks crap, I have no idea where I got it. Someone said that Chris Isaac was just a fan, and David Lynch was like, well, do you want to be in it or something? And he wasn't really an actor, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, you get some pretty good acting from non-actors.
Yeah, and that's really what's interesting to me is it's like there's something that Lynch can do with that.
He does. He has a real discerning way about him, like an intuition. And he does transcendental meditation. Mm-hmm. Although I have never done that, I think it does kind of meditation helps you kind of reach into your psyche a little bit more. The creative part is inside of us, I think. And I think a line I like that he uses is, life doesn't make sense, why would art? So art doesn't make sense. You know, he has a vision. He created Twin Peaks. But I think where we get our theories is we view it from our lens. What have we been through personally? And like, if you've been through trauma, you're going to recognize the trauma in the show. You're going to say, yes, that's trauma. I know what that feels like. I know what that looks like. But if you haven't been, Twin Peaks gives you the face.
Oh, interesting.
It gives you the face of trauma. So you can kind of glean from that what trauma might look like if you've never really been through anything traumatic. I've had 6 or 7 years of having people come through my house, which has been a real blessing to me, because without Twin Peaks, when could I ever meet these people? Wonderful people. There's always a fringe of people that, you know, maybe are not your type of people, but everybody who comes through here, it's not like going to the dentist where they don't want to be here. These people come here to face their trauma sometimes. Sometimes they're crying when they're here. I get people here that just start talking to me about their trauma. I mean, just the other day I had quite a story. And very arty people that are like, let's look at the angle in this room and see how it fit, you know, the filming. And they really get into it. It's obsessive, but obsessive in an arty good way, like where they really like being here. Then they realize there's a good vibe here. They've kind of faced that trauma of walking through, like somebody came here the other day and said, I'm scared to come in. And by the time they leave, you're best friends. And you're hugging each other, and you were able to maybe unload something you needed to unload in kind of a safe place. So it's really been it's been a blessing for me. I mean, I'm the one that's getting the gift. It's not so much them, because it's really meant a lot to me. It's been very therapeutic for me too.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
What an experience.
Yeah. Great experience.
So tell me, I want to come back to your experience filming season 3, but since we're talking about the home and the tours and stuff, when did you start touring the home? What was the motivation? Could you take me back to like what, because I imagine you bought the home and you spent all the
craziness
time fixing it. What, how does this happen?
Well, like I tell people, it's like usually we have locks on our doors to keep people out. I'm letting strangers into my home. I close the door behind me and I'm walking complete strangers through my home, but you get a feel for people. I think I've learned a lot about boundaries and about discernment, and I can vet people really easily if they get a hold of me. It's just been great. It's been great. Like I trust these people. It's like, this is a horrible way to say it, but it's almost cultish. Cult members are not going to ruin it for other cult members. They all want each other to see what they love.
Yeah.
What they really love. That means a lot to them. I mean, there was one time somebody came walking right into my living room, and from the outside, didn't knock on the door or anything, just came walking in. And it's like,
oh, really?
Yeah. It's crazy. It's like people think this is like a museum or something, and so you need to make an appointment.
They came in with good intentions. They just thought, oh, it's a museum. Let me just walk in and take a tour.
And I started this so it aired in May of 2017. So I started letting people through like in 2016. Because I'm the type of person who's very curious. I went to go see the house in Monroe. I didn't go inside, but I parked out in front and took a picture. To me, it's a treat if you can go to one of these places where something was filmed and be able to see it. And if you're going to buy a home that where something's been filmed there, you have to know you're going to have people driving by, stopping by, wanting to come in.
This is quite a gift you're giving people, because we drove by the house on Monroe as well, and it's very clear that they don't want you walking up to the door or anything. Like, they had the sort of no trespassing signs and tons of trees in front of it, which is fine. Like, there's no shade on that. Like, people want to live their personal lives. Like, I get it. But different vibe. Like, you know, it's just It was just a different vibe.
And I think I know people that saw it in 89 and 90, never got to see the inside. The two pictures that I have in the dining room, actually, the woman who lived here when they filmed the first time around is who I bought it from, Marilyn Pedersen. Mm-hmm. And she only let one person in. And I don't blame her. I can see why she did that.
Oh, interesting.
But this, I mean, I just started letting people I know into the house in 2016. And then from there, it just kind of snowballed into people like word of mouth. Hey, you can go see the inside of the house. Okay. And you know, talk to Mary and stuff like that. And it's kind of cool, actually.
You know what I found interesting is, because I do think always on these lines of synchronicities and things, I watched the YouTube video. Some people interviewed you and did a sort of tour of your home. They did a great job. Cool video. They talked about the history of the home and about how you bought it from, what was her name?
Peterson? Marilyn Pedersen.
Marilyn Pedersen.
She was here. She was here when they first filmed.
And if I'm not mistaken, didn't they say she was the homecoming queen of her high school?
She
Which I thought was kind of odd.
She was, and she was like the drama teacher, I think, at Everett High School.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, and then she also worked at the hospital. She was a pretty cool lady. It was like she was here, and the location gal is the concierge from the pilot. They started filming in Monroe. I don't know if I'm jumping the gun here, but they started filming in Monroe at that house.
Okay.
David decided not to use it, sent Julie Duvick out, who was the concierge in the pilot, that's sitting with Audrey when Audrey's putting her pencil in the styrofoam cup. She's the one who came by here 8 o'clock in the morning after filming in Monroe for a little bit, talked to Marilyn and said, the network wants to film a movie here. We need a home that looks like a neurotic woman and a lawyer would live. And do you have a room upstairs for a 17-year-old? But we would need to start filming tomorrow. So that's how that all happened. That's why the house in Monroe, despite all the gnarly trees in front of that house and how set back it was and how creepy it was, it kind of looked like the Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yes.
I tell people, this is cool because trauma happens everywhere. Doesn't just happen in homes where gnarly trees line the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Happens everywhere.
Yeah.
Trust me, if I screamed in this house, people outside wouldn't hear me. So that's how soundproof it is. So I don't know what David's reason was for this area, though Weyerhaeuser had mills up here too. Not just in Snoqualmie. So as far as history goes, this is a very... this is a very historic area. This is called Rucker Hill. There's a mansion at the top of the hill. He owns some mills out in the water. So that particular video that you saw was really good as far as encompassing the history of the home and stuff. Yeah. So that.
Huh. Is there a, do you know like how season one, you know, pilot season one, season two, are they, it seems like they shoot the exteriors from the house in Monroe, but the interiors, were they filmed here or in L.A.?
Yeah, that's one thing I never got. I don't know why they kept the exteriors from the house in Monroe throughout the whole series when they actually, like someone asked Sabrina, which is the Palmer house? And she said the one in Everett is the correct Palmer home.
Okay. That's how you won the battle.
That's how I tell people when they go, it is. It's a really cool house, and that's what you see on the outside. But Twin Peaks started at this house in the pilot, and it ended at this house in the finale.
And boy, did it end. I want to talk to you about that. Let's shift back to your experience as an actress. So July 2015-ish, David Lynch says, hey, do you have any acting experience? Right.
Yeah, that was actually his second trip. He was here in January, then came out in April. And I was just in the kitchen putting out coffee and donuts and pie and all that kind of good Twin Peaks stuff. And he just came, he was doing something at the door, which I believe in my eyes, he was writing the finale at the door. I don't know if that's true or not. He was just working things at the door. And after he was finished, he came into the kitchen where I was standing by myself, and he goes, "Are you an actress?" "No." "Have you ever acted?" "No." "Would you like to do a small part in the movie?" And I, "Of course."
Yeah.
And that's basically how it happened with Bob upstairs in Laura's room too. He was set dressing, and he heard something. He was cleaning, or he was cleaning up a stain on the floor. Frank Silva was in Laura's room doing some set decorating, and a woman said, "Frank, you need to move because you're getting caught between the dresser and the bed, and we need to start filming here pretty soon." As soon as David heard that, that kind of piqued his interest. He turned around and he looked at Frank, and he goes, "Frank, are you an actor?" "As a matter of fact, I am." "Well, you're going to be in my movie." And then he wanted to see how he would look crouching down behind Laura's bed. Mm-hmm. And it was that vision of Bob that that was the rest is history on that one.
So yeah. you share that in common with Bob.
I share that in common with Frank Silva. Yes. Yes.
So. And I thought about, we were in Snoqualmie earlier this week, and we went to the Double R Diner. And I noticed right next door is a Freemasonic lodge there. And I thought, well, that's really odd. And then, because I had already thought about the address of the Laura Palmer House being on 33rd Street. And
yeah.
33, of course, is a Freemason sort of reference.
Right.
And then when I saw the Freemason lodge next to the Double R, I thought, well, this is kind of
weird,
too.
Yeah, and you can
hardly
even see it. You have to really look for it.
Yeah.
But every town has a Masonic lodge.
Yeah. And in fact, we just left the Monroe House.
Oh, that one there is interesting because there's pictures of all the famous Freemasons.
Tell me more. What do you mean? We drove past it. We stopped at the Monroe House. I took a photo, and it was really creepy because there was a person in the park across the street yelling to himself, and I kind of got kind of weirded out, and I was like, I'm gonna go back to the car. So I go back to the car. And we're driving, and it's, you know, I'd say an eighth of a mile maybe down the road. Is Josie, she's sitting passenger. She goes, "Oh, look, there's another Freemason temple." I said, "What the heck? That's weird."
That one there on Lewis Street has pictures of famous Freemasons.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're all painted on the side of the building.
Oh, I didn't even see
that.
So you've
got, I don't know if it was like there was an astronaut and George Washington.
Buzz Aldrin, probably.
Buzz Aldrin, I think it was Buzz Aldrin, yeah.
Oh, that's so weird.
Yeah.
I didn't even see that.
Well, you're going to have to go past it and look at it.
Oh,
take a picture.
Oh, my gosh. I'll never leave Washington.
Yeah, right.
I'll be here forever.
Right.
I love it here. It's yeah. I mean, it's stunning here.
It is beautiful.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't expect to fall in love with the place like
so
I did.
So David and Mark, I mean, Northwest Passage is what it was going to be called. Mm-hmm. There's the Pacific Northwest. You've got, it's a very mysterious place, just the woods. I mean, who can take a fan and just completely scare people to death with a fan?
Oh, the fan.
And
yes.
Then wind blowing through the trees, making that whooshing sound. And then you've got the traffic light right by Tweeds that kind of is, you know, kind of sways in the breeze.
Yeah.
That always freaked me out for some reason.
Yeah. I'm with you on all that.
Yeah.
Why are those
inanimate objects, yeah,
sort of speak to all of us the same way? I don't know. I don't know. Is that the original? Is that the fan that you've got up there? Tell me about this
okay.
fan.
Okay, so the fan blades and the base of the fan are the originals.
Okay.
They took the lights, the globes,
okay,
down to Hollywood because there were four of them. So if anybody really studied the fan, they would see that I've got three upstairs and the original had four. But the base, like I say, in the fan blades are the original.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Huh.
And then Laura's bed. So the bed that was upstairs that belonged to the lady that lived here, Marilyn, it was her daughter's bed. And they actually took that bed down to Hollywood. So the bed you see that Laura's sleeping on is the original bed all the way through.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And is there, I mean, I hate to like start spiraling into a house tour, but
that's okay.
Is what other sort of parts of the house are the like those mirrors you have behind the couch there? I feel like those are part of the show.
My
too.
Mirrors are from Hobby Lobby.
Oh, okay.
And well,
they look similar though, the two on the outside.
So in the pilot, you had your hourglass in the middle and the two rounds on the side, which would represent an owl face.
Oh, it does.
If
I
you
never
really
thought
look
that.
At
okay.
it. And I've got just the opposite. So I tell people when they walk through for a tour that they're in an alternate universe,
which,
just to kind of add to the mystique of the tour. Yeah, so it's kind of an owl face. And that was the mirror that you could see Bob in at the end of the pilot.
You ever thought about being a conspiracy theorist? Or are you a conspiracy theorist? Maybe you are. I don't know.
No, you know what I call myself? A conspiracy realist.
There you go. I like that. Okay. I actually have five rapid fire questions we're going to do before we wrap up that we can kind of they're fun questions I have for all my guests.
Okay.
But let's keep going on the journey here. So plot spoilers coming up.
Ooh, yeah.
And at what point, so when you get a script, do you understand anything going on in the storyline, or is it literally like, here's your paragraph, you're doing just this?
Okay, so minutes. I got like two or three pages. I still have it. I still have my script.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
And I got that. So he asked me in April. The script came around July. And I knew who Cooper was, but I didn't know who Carrie was.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't know who Carrie was until the day of filming.
Oh, wow.
So I'm practicing my lines, and I'm thinking, who is Carrie going to be? So I asked one of the crew people the day of filming, actually the day I was, I think it was that they said hair and makeup, you have to get into the car outside, and we're going to hair and makeup. And I had no idea who Carrie was. And I said, who's Carrie? And they said, we can't tell you. So see, and it's like, okay. And I said, well, I'd like to know who's going to be at my house. I mean, I know it's going to be Cooper, but,
yeah.
And so I said, is it Cheryl Lee? And she said, yeah.
You guessed that.
I guessed it.
How in the world did you do that?
Well, I was just like going for like, I mean, they're all great actors, but probably the two that I'd love to like do a scene with would be those two. And so I just thought, Carrie, I mean, who else could it be? So I just said Cheryl Lee. And
it could have been any. That's bizarre you came up with that.
I know.
That's so bizarre.
I know. And the odd thing is my character's name was Alice. That was my mom's name. And the first Blue Rose case is Lois Duffy, and that's my maiden name.
No kidding.
So, yeah. So there's just some idiosyncrasies all throughout this whole thing that are just crazy.
Yeah. Have you ever heard anything about like numerology or gematria?
Yes.
Ideas? Okay,
yes.
So you're familiar with that.
Yeah, I mean, there's even people who think that 708 33rd Street means something too, and they spelled it out for me, and that can make sense as well, because is that the reason they chose this house? I don't know. That's a mystery too.
Well, I found it interesting that, when it comes to gematria, what I don't like about those things and why I believe it's a thing. I don't get into it much because it's so subjective. And I mean, I have a hard time with it. But when you tell me these odd synchronicities of how you guessed it was Cheryl Lee and all the name conventions that turned out to be part of your personal life, I do find it interesting. And you are given your script. And from what I saw somewhere, the making of season three, I feel like David Lynch was sitting in, was he sitting in this room where we are in the living room, or like they were filming?
You mean the finale scene?
Yeah. Sorry. Let me back up for people who are unaware. And I'm going to record an intro after this so that people know like plot spoilers. Cause there's a lot of people in the audience who are only watching it for the first time. Cause I keep
shame on them
raving about it. Yeah, I know.
They should be into their like 10th viewing.
I know some people they've seen it 100 times. 100 times.
You know what? I've only seen, okay, here's another cool thing. None of us knew when our parts were. So I sat here and watched with everybody else. I got to go to the premiere down at the Ace Theater and did all the red carpet stuff and everything. So we saw one and two. But everybody, all the actors watched it along with everybody else. Nobody knew when their parts were.
You're talking about season three?
Mm-hmm. The only one who knew was Kyle, because Kyle MacLachlan had to read the whole script at David's house.
Oh.
So everybody's only given their script, and I had absolutely no clue this was going to be the finale. I had no clue it was going to be part 18, and I had no clue it was going to be in the last 4 minutes. So I'm watching with everybody else going, whoa. I mean, I know it wasn't on the cutting room floor, but 4 minutes, how are they going to wrap up what we did at the door? But they did.
So you watched, so you record your part, and then sometime later they get all the cast and crew and say, we're gonna watch 18 hours of Twin Peaks, come join us for one day? Or is it like a weekend or
no, it was we watched it through the whole season. I mean, we saw 1 and 2 down at the Ace Theater.
When they showed on Showtime,
like
2 days
before everybody else did, parts 1 and 2.
Oh,
and then we watched it for those the rest of the time that everybody else had to, all the way from May through September
on Showtime
as it aired. So, yeah, I mean, like here I'm watching 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, thinking, wow, I thought this was maybe thrown in the middle somewhere. Okay. I didn't know it was the finale until it aired as the finale.
Oh, you must have felt like you hit the jackpot in a way. It's like, how did the final scene, to me, which is so pivotal to the whole universe of Twin Peaks, I think. I mean, that's according to everyone's got their theory, right?
Yeah, 17 was pretty interesting. I mean, a lot of people thought that could have been the ending.
Yep. We did a tour with David Israel, which was absolutely amazing. Yes. I'm so happy we did it. We almost didn't do it. I just thought, man, I don't know, because Josie likes Twin Peaks, not super into it, though, enough to drag her along for 3 hours to look at things. And she loved it, right?
It was,
I don't speak for her. She loved
it.
She had a great time. And
it's beautiful. The sights are beautiful.
Yeah. I lost my train of thought. Where was I?
Well, we had a wrap party after it was... Okay, so filming started October of 2015. Then they did the Las Vegas and California scenes 2016. And then it didn't even air until May of 2017. So we had a wrap party thrown in there, and we were all still looking at each other like nobody knew who anybody was. So you had 217 people, from what I can remember, and nobody knew who anybody was. I mean, I was looking at one of the woodsmen thinking, how was David Lynch going to incorporate Abraham Lincoln into season 3? Because he looked like, Robert Brodsky. Looks like Abraham Lincoln. I think he does renditions of Abraham Lincoln speeches and stuff.
Yeah, I could see that.
But yeah, I mean, that's what was really cool about it, though, is Kyle watched it every week. The rest of us watched it every week. And then as soon as their parts aired, okay, that's who that actor was. That's who that actress was.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah.
What an experience. So David, this is what I was going to say. David Israel, who did the Twin Peaks tour, we were talking... And I think he was saying that he thought maybe part 17 was Mark Frost's ending to Twin Peaks and part 18 was David Lynch's ending to Twin Peaks, which I thought was interesting. I got to rewatch it, though. I'm on my fourth viewing of Twin Peaks, and I'm on season 3, episode, I think 6. I'm not sure.
Yeah, the two of them, to me, were really needed. David has a definite approach. Mark has the history, the lore, all the really interesting details. Mm-hmm. So I think the two of them, and I don't think sometimes Mark gets the kudos he should, because he's really offered a lot to this. I mean, it's a lot about David Lynch, but Mark Frost equally is quite a talent himself.
Yes, I agree. I think Mark Frost, when I read his books on Twin Peaks, those were the ones that really spoke to me, because I watched the show and I had different sort of ideas sort of percolating, and then I read the books and I thought, oh my gosh, yeah, this is very much what I thought it was going to be.
Great books. And they weren't, it was like David did his part, Mark did his part, they came together. There wasn't any, like, I mean, it flowed, but they each did what they wanted to do. Mark wanted to write, and he wanted to fill you in on the details. And those details are pretty incredible. Lore.
Yes.
We need the lore. We need the history, because then it makes sense more.
It does. Yeah.
Kind of adds to it. So.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. And so, okay. So part 18. So you're watching it every week and we're getting to the last episode and you got to be thinking, is there a mistake here? Did I just not get
in
the show now?
And then they're driving down the road, like in Lost Highway, and they're not even talking to each other. And I'm thinking, David had a reason for that too. It builds anxiety. I mean, even at the door, the only thing, David doesn't overdirect. In fact, he hardly directs at all. He just has you act, just raw. He probably figured, okay, Mary's going to be anxious. She's going to be excited at the same time, and that's what you got at the door. Because I mean, if somebody comes to your door at 10 o'clock at night, that's the way you're going to be. Uh-huh. And then if somebody looks like Kyle MacLachlan, yeah, you're going to be looking at him, you know. But the reason for the pauses, the awkward pauses at the door, is you can edit time out, but you can't edit time back in. And just like in Lost Highway, when Robert Blake is talking to Bill Pullman, you've got those really awkward pauses, which really cause, you know, kind of create anxiety. So all David would say is, when Kyle would say, "Special Agent Dale Cooper, is Sarah Palmer here?" It's why I stared at him. It's not that I didn't know my line. It was like, we're looking at each other, but it builds anxiety.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If I'm looking at you right now and staring at you and I'm, you know, it's creepy.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then the only other thing he said was, just look at Laura. You know, I needed to make sure Laura was...
He's kind of yelling this to you as he's filming?
No, it only took two takes at the door.
Okay.
It only took, like, we did one practice one, and that was great. And he said, "Wow, that was nearly flawless." And Scott Cameron looks at him and he goes, "You mean it wasn't perfect?" And David goes, "Nothing's perfect." He always does things, I mean, at least twice.
Okay.
From what I could see. And this is where he was when we were doing the finale he would say, "Okay, Mary, now you go to the door." So he wanted that pause when Kyle would knock at the door, because everybody's wondering who's going to answer. So
yeah.
David is like, he's a Jedi, so to speak, when it comes to awkward pauses and, you know, building anxiety when there's total silence, when you're just staring at each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and you can edit time out if you want to, but you can't put it back in.
Yeah, right. So you can't just like freeze the video.
So as a director, the guy is he's not filling your head with how you should stand, how you should look, how you should say it. He's letting you just deliver your lines raw.
Mm-hmm.
And then if he needs to tweak them, he'll tweak them.
Hmm. Interesting.
He knows how humans are when they're facing each other.
And, yeah, you're right. You know? You're right. Yeah.
Because a lot of people look away when you're looking at them.
Yeah.
It's that awkward, ooh, I don't like that person staring at me, you know. So
is there the first time I watched season 3, I was confused, because when, like, the last scene, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was confused because when you answer that, when Alice Tremont answers the door, I was confused. I thought, well, Sarah Palmer lives here, right? And because Sarah Palmer is depicted living in the home all of season 3. Is that right? I mean, is what I thought was, because I thought.
But then you have to remember, when Sarah's doing her scene, when she's in the living room here, the whole front lawn is dead grass. When Cooper and Carrie walk up the stairs, that dead grass is healthy grass.
Oh, it is. Oh,
it's not the same. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Trust me, I had to watch him put it on, take it off.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was a definitive different look to the front lawn between, you know.
Yeah, and that's what I want to, that's the kind of thing that on this fourth viewing of season 3 is, because I caught wind of an idea that's, I'm trying to not really read any theories about Twin Peaks, because I'm writing a book about it and trying to sort of come up with my own theory, if that's even possible.
It's refreshing, though, to hear different theories.
Yeah, and that's what I think. It's like, I don't really want to be tainted with other theories.
Right,
and
right.
I caught wind of one. I don't remember how or where. And it's now it's wormed into my brain of this. And some people know all this, and they're probably like, yeah, dummy. Like, that's one of the contending theories. I don't know this, though. And the idea was that it has something to do with parallel realities and this theme of Jowdy
mm-hmm.
possessing Sarah Palmer's body
mm-hmm.
and she's sort of this, I don't know, source of ultimate evil that wants to end the world in a way
mm-hmm.
and that's what the whole ending is about, from one theory that I've heard. And it makes a lot of sense as I watched season 1 and 2 with that in the back of my mind. I thought, that seems to make sense. But now I'm just starting season 3 again, and that sort of lends itself more to that idea, now that you're telling me that there is a sort of...
Well, you know, somebody was here one time and they guessed. I said, "Guess who you think I'm going to be?" And I didn't say, obviously, because we had an NDA. But they go, "I bet you're a Tremont."
Oh, really?
And I had to put on a poker face, and I go, why would you say that? And he goes, because Tremonts take over homes. Tremonts take over homes, and they don't let people over the threshold. Because you had three Tremont women. You had Frances Bay, who had the picture, and she said, Laura, this would look nice on your wall. Then you had another Tremont woman who was in her house later on, and she said she doesn't live here anymore. But no Tremont woman has ever really let anybody in through the house, or kind of a gatekeeper, maybe, is what some people say.
Yeah, there's an important role of the Tremont.
Yeah,
Chalfont
because Tremonts were
there.
In Twin Peaks, Chalfonts were in Fire Walk With Me. It was one and the same, but it was just different names.
And why? Why different names?
That's a David question that you're probably not going to get an answer to, because David doesn't answer those kinds of questions. But that's what I love about the theories, is that everybody's got one. But again, it's David's vision and Mark's vision, and you take away from it. Your gift is David handing it to you based what you're seeing based off of your own personal experiences. Mm. Everybody comes from a different place.
Oh, interesting.
Right?
Okay.
So if we were going to go to an art gallery and look at a piece of art, the three of us would see something completely different based off of our own experiences. Mm-hmm. So that's what I think. No theory is wrong. And trust me, I've heard many, because I've had people come through the door here that's what we talk about is theories. And I've learned a lot, and I've thought about a lot of their theories, and they all make sense.
Oh, okay. I was gonna ask you
to me, it reminds me of that infinity symbol, the eight, number eight laying on its side, kind of. One is one reality and one is another. And to me, when you cross over that middle part of the eight, you're crossing from one into another. And that's where I think, that's why for me, I think Cooper wasn't really full on Cooper when he was here. That's just my theory. That's not David's. Mm-hmm. Let me just say disclaimer. Because I wasn't supposed to talk about theories, because everybody thinks, well, that's what David was meaning. Well, it's not. Mm-hmm. It's just, that's what makes sense to me, is alternate realities. So when people say, is there going to be a season four? For me, it's like, well, which part of the alternate reality do you want to step into?
Right. Oh, it's so weird.
So, and at the end of part 18, the Frost Lynch logo that had the electrical sound, you know, that was silent.
Wait a minute. You're talking about like when the credits roll?
When the credits rolled up after 18, there was always that electrical sound.
Yes.
This time there wasn't.
No kidding.
When the Showtime insignia comes around, you know, when it says Showtime?
Yeah.
Total silence.
Oh, man.
And then Angelo Badalamenti's Dark Space Low, when the credits roll, that's not a happy song. That's a dirge-sounding song.
Oh, wow. This is crazy. Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, so you never noticed that it was silent.
No.
Especially the Lynch Frost productions. I even put that on Twitter one time, and Mark Frost reposted it. And
oh, really?
Goes, yeah, what do you all think about this?
Oh, like he sort of endorsed, this might be a good path here.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's here's the thing. Twin Peaks is not mindless TV. So it's a never-ending theme. People just are trying to figure things out, but we never will. I don't think we ever will, because everybody's theory is different than anybody else's. Yours is going to be different from mine in the way you view life through your own personal experiences.
Yeah. Hmm.
So again, if you've had trauma, you're going to see it in a whole different light. If you haven't, it's going to show you what it looks like. So nobody's is wrong. I mean, there's a guy who did a 4-hour thing. Well, that's based off of his, it's interesting, but it's based off of his own experiences.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, and that's...
So it's a gift. It's David's gift to us. And if he'd be kind of like handing you a gift wrap box, and if he tells you what's in it, how much fun is that? You want to be surprised. So that's your gift.
Huh. You know what's funny is you mentioned the infinity symbol, like that's what, if I'm not mistaken, in season three when we see David Bowie's character, I guess you'd say, the steampot thing. You remember that scene where the symbol comes, the Black Lodge symbol comes out of it? I think it's the Black Lodge symbol comes out of it, and it morphs itself into that mm-hmm. infinity symbol.
And that's what makes sense to me. That doesn't mean I'm okay. right.
All
right. That's just my gift. That's what I took away from it.
Okay.
When I unwrapped the box.
Interesting.
That's
oh,
just
man,
what
I love
it seems like to me.
Oh, this is fascinating. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm trying to see. Okay. So then you watch part 18, and the scene happens as you're watching it, and surely you were looking at the time, and you thought. Because I'm sure you're watching the finale and you're looking at the clock and like, am yeah. I going to be in this thing or what?
Well, Sabrina already told me you're not on the cutting room floor. And she even asked me, when do you think this is going to air? And I go, I don't know, maybe midway through. She goes, okay. And so then there's like, yeah, I mean, I was really anxiety driven. It was cool. Now, that was very surreal for me, sitting in my living room, watching it on Sarah Palmer's TV, knowing Carrie and Cooper are going to be walking up my stairs, knocking on my door, and I'm answering it. So that was really cool. I mean, that was kind of surreal. And I had some friends here that were watching it, too. But
yeah.
It was crazy.
And then the first time I watched the finale, and, you know, for, you know, just a reminder for people because they've seen it, you know, they knock on the door, they ask if Sarah Palmer's here, and you say, what do you say there? Do you remember the lines or not really? Because Cooper, he knocks on the door and you answer
Sarah Palmer here? And I go, who? And he goes, Sarah Palmer. And I go, no, there's no one here by that name.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, do you own this house or do you rent this house? And that's how the whole Chalfont Tremond thing came in. And he says, what's your name? Alice Tremond.
Uh-huh.
So, and then he looks, it's not typical Cooper to look puzzled.
Yes, yes.
He was just off. He was off.
Yeah.
And I think I have a right to say that too, because as a viewer, when I filmed it with him, I had no idea it was the finale. I didn't know who they were, what they were supposed to, you know, what all that was supposed to mean. So even when I was acting with him, I thought, this does not feel like Cooper. In fact, the first time he delivered his line, he almost sounded mean. And I remember, I thought, ooh, I don't like that tone. I'm going to give it right back to him. And I did.
Yeah.
You know, and then he changed a line to make it flow a little bit better.
Yeah.
And I just felt that just wasn't full on
yeah.
Cooper.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, he does seem off. And then Carrie Page is looking perplexed, kind of, I guess is the right
way. Very perplexed.
Yeah. And Cooper, if I remember, Cooper looks back at Carrie and she's kind of like, I don't know, dude. And he looks back at you and he kind of mm-hmm. looks at the house. And
that is not full on Cooper. Cooper, that wouldn't be Cooper. He would, you know,
he would always know what to do and what to say.
Right,
and he was
exactly.
kind of at a loss.
Exactly.
I think he thought driving Carrie up to the home, because when they drive past like the double R, I think he says something to her. He's like, does any of this look familiar? And she's like, no. And I think he thought, well, she'll snap out of this or whatever. If she's under a spell or whatever's happening, she'll snap out of it. And then he's like, well, surely when we go to the home and still nothing. And then surely when Sarah answers the door, her own mother, and that doesn't happen.
Right, right.
And so were you, so correct, I don't remember. So you have the conversation with Cooper. Do you close the door on them or is the door open through that? I don't remember.
He goes, so sorry for bothering you so late at night. And I go, that's okay, which is one of my lines that I use all the time. So David uh-huh. incorporated that into the, and I go, that's okay. And then I close the door.
Okay.
And then they just walk down the stairs and he was just kind of in a stupor.
Uh-huh. Are you, now where are you at? Like personally, you close the door and they're like, are they like cut? And then it's over, or are they still filming outside and you're watching through the windows?
He goes, no, that's a
wrap.
They actually walked up and down the stairs prior to us filming the scene at the door. So things are out of sync a lot of times.
Oh, okay.
So, and then when he was driving around, like he was just coming back from, or when he was going from the double R to my house, driving around that neighborhood, which is my neighborhood, was done after it was all over.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
So you didn't hear the scream after you closed the door.
I did, and you know, it's not like I'm trying to plug anything here, but the Z to A box set came out 5 years later. So we had an NDA for 5 years after it was over because they did 25 minutes of behind the scenes for each part, which I have to say is incredible.
What's the Z to A box set?
Z to A box set came out 5 years after the finale aired.
Of season three?
Mm-hmm. Oh. And it's got a conversation with Kyle and Cheryl and Lucy and Andy. And it's basically everything that you'd want in this box set. I mean, all of Twin Peaks. Oh. And then, there's 25 minutes of behind the scenes. So I didn't realize they were doing all that. So I was in like three or four of the scenes for part 18 because Kyle had never been here. So as we were walking back from hair and makeup, we were walking towards David, and David grabs Kyle and he goes, Kyle, Laura Palmer's house.
Oh, Kyle McLaughlin's never been to this home.
Think about it, he's never been to this home. So even when I got out of hair and makeup and we were walking up to David, I said, have you ever been to my house? And he goes, no, I haven't. And then David says, Kyle, Laura Palmer's house. And he goes, it's beautiful. Huh. And he goes, I've never been invited. And I looked at him, I didn't realize they were taping this, but I go, well, I've got wine inside and you're welcome to come in whenever you want. And I'm thinking, oh, what a geek.
Well, I mean, who doesn't love Kyle McLaughlin?
Behind the scenes, behind the scenes are the best because he's directing. It's the best parts of each part of him directing, like the actors.
Uh-huh.
And there's quite a few really good ones in there. And then what David does after each person is done with their part, which is cool, I think it's called a callback. And he says, okay, cut, that's a wrap. So for my character, he had everybody go outside, and this was the final scene of the box set for part 18, where everybody surrounds you and you're in the middle, and he says, thank you, Mary, for letting us use your home, and you did a great job, and then everybody claps for you, which kind of makes it like you feel like family, kind of.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
But he does that for everybody. He did it for Bad Coop, although Bad Coop didn't get a great response just because he was Bad Coop, you know. But and then he had to do one for Dougie. He had to do one for, you know, all the characters he did.
Oh, what do you think that's typical of, I don't know, Hollywood protocol?
No, I think it's David. I think David does that. David is...
I wonder why he does that. Do you have any idea?
I don't know. I just think he's... You know, and equally too, I thought it was cool because I was kind of the odd man out. You know, Kyle, Cheryl, and I are walking. We got out of the car, walked towards David, and then David looks at me and he goes, Kale, Cheryl, Mary, doesn't treat anybody any differently. Everybody's the same. And he goes, Mary, you're not wearing that shirt. And I go, well, I didn't put this on me. And he looks at the wardrobe gal and he goes, I told you I want Mary wearing what I saw her in the first day I met her, which was January. And I had a V-neck cream-colored shirt on, and I thought, whoa, how does he remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So I had to come in, and he goes, I want Mary wearing her own clothes.
Yeah.
So I had to go upstairs and put on, and I tried a few things on. We sent pictures to David, and then I put that blouse on that I wore.
Mm-hmm.
And she sent it to him, and he goes, that's it. So he knows in his mind what he wants the characters to do, how he wants them to look. So he's transferring that image into, you know, everybody who's involved. And
that's so fascinating.
He's fascinating. Huh. He's really fascinating. I mean, Sabrina's wonderful. Everybody that was here, I have no complaints. I'd do it all over again.
Did you get to meet everybody from the cast, like all the big names or
no,
just some of them?
Well, we were at a wrap party. And then there was a party, an after party after the premiere.
Mm-hmm.
So if you ran into somebody that was in the show, you got to meet him.
Okay.
But there's kind of a fraternity. It's the originals, and they all kind of hung out together too.
Oh, really?
Because they hadn't seen each other for a while. So it was interesting. But here I got to meet Michael Horse, Grace Zabriskie, and Cheryl Lee, and then Kyle McLaughlin. So that was interesting.
How cool is that?
Yeah, Grace, boy, she made the hair in my arms stand straight up.
She was
in character when she got here, and when she's in character, you've seen her in some movies.
Yeah.
she was that character. She wasn't Grace.
No kidding.
And it was like, that's the first time I ever met her. But she was walking up the stairs and David goes, Gracie, Mary's never met you before. And she, he goes, she's the owner of the Palmer House. Grace stares at me and she grabs my hand and she goes, honey, this is a beautiful home. You make sure you take care of it now, won't you? And I'm like, yes, ma'am.
Oh, wow.
It was like, whoa. Yeah,
she's
she was cool.
She's such an interesting person. That if you wait till you watch Wild at Heart, her character
I heard.
Pretty, I don't know, dark, man. It's,
yeah, she's really, she's something else. Something else.
Man, well, you're too easy to talk to. We could do this all day.
I know.
But thank you for sharing your story here.
Oh, it's
and
fun.
I'm stoked you're going to take us on a tour of this home, and I can die a happy man. This is really something. But I do five rapid fire questions for all my guests. You don't have to explain your answers. It could be yes or no. Okay.
It's dangerous territory I'm going into right now.
Some of these are funny. Some of these aren't. Okay. Whatever. Five questions. All right, here we go. Do you like Tom Hanks? It's a weird question, but it tells me something about you. No judgments. She's torn, folks.
Yes and no.
Okay. All right. There you go. All right. Now these are typically for conspiracy guests, so. Do you have a red pill moment? Do you know what a red pill? What I mean when I say red pill?
Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay. Do you have a red pill moment? Is there a red pill moment for you?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to share what it was or no?
No.
Okay. What's one conspiracy you 100% believe in? If you want to share it, of course.
I can't think. There's so many right now. Okay. I can't think of just one.
Okay. Is there one that that's like, so for me, the most outlandish conspiracy that I believe in, like a hill I would die on almost, and I'm like 99%, 99.9% is that I don't think we put a man on the moon.
That's the one I was going to say.
Oh, hey, there we go.
It's to me, it's you're like, right. Just, I was going to say, it'd be really tough to get through the Van Allen belt.
Okay. Yeah. See, you even brought evidence, too. That was
yeah,
good.
Evidence.
Okay. What's a conspiracy you absolutely do not believe in?
Boy, these are loaded questions.
Well, an example for me, it would be like Flat Earth. I just don't believe it. There's no way.
I don't. Okay. As far as that goes, I think there's things that can prove it, but I also think that there's things that could prove the globe theory as well. So when it's all said and done, is it really going to make any difference?
that's a great answer. Okay. And then, well, this might not be too relevant because, you know, I don't know how much you get into conspiracies, because in the world of conspiracy, a lot of people, they start doubting everything and they sort of disconnect from, you know, family, friends, and they start sort of getting negative.
Right.
They call it taking the black pill.
Right.
How do you keep yourself from going black pill? How do you unplug from some of the negative aspects of this? Because that's my sort of, I don't know, campaign or mission is, I enjoy talking about conspiracies and questioning the nature of reality, but I don't want to take it so far that we hate each other and things like that.
Yeah, I don't want to lose family. I've learned just through the passing of my son and everything else, it's like none of that even, it pales in comparison to us having to prove ourselves right in what we think is real and what's not. So family and friends come first. If that gets in the way of family and friends, then it's not worth it. I can keep those things to myself.
Yeah. I love that. That's
and great. Everybody's reality is different. So how can, it's kind of like how you view Twin Peaks. At the end of the day, a lot of it's not going to make any difference, but it's like we create what works for us. And so how are we to tell somebody that what they're thinking is really wrong? Maybe there's something we haven't identified, or that's why I think we need to be teachable. That's the most important thing. We're not as smart as we think we are.
That's good.
Right?
That's good. Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful answers. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Might be the best answer I've ever had on those questions, honestly. But thank you. You're an angel for doing this. Thank you for the interview. Thank you for opening your home to us. Thank you for opening your home to the Twin Peaks culture. I myself found myself new into this culture, and I think it's an amazing thing. In fact, I'm writing this book, and it's kind of, this is my 10th book, which I find ironic because of Cooper's, in season 3, he talks about 10 being the number of completion. But I find myself sort of nervous about writing. Usually when I write a book, I'm like, I'm just going to spit it out and we're publishing it. Good to go. Moving on. This is the one that I'm taking very serious in a way, because I'm like, no, I want to do it justice, because this world that was created, I'm a guest in it now. Like, I'm new to it. There's people that have watched this show in 90 and 91, fell in love, and they waited 25 freaking years. I didn't. I just cruised right through. And I respect it in that way. So I do want to thank you. Oh, before we go, are there any projects you're working on? Are there any things you want to discuss?
Yeah, I am. Well, thank you for having me.
Of course.
Thank you for visiting.
Of course.
I appreciate both of you, and you guys are awesome. I am going to write a book, I think, before I forget everything.
Yes, you should, absolutely.
I want to write about my experience of just, I had my divorce, and this was very therapeutic for me, but I, you know, just buying this home, having them film Twin Peaks here, which has been a blessing, and then talking about a lot of the really cool visitors I've had.
That sounds fascinating. Yes. Yeah, because you've had, I follow you on Instagram, which I advise everyone follow on Instagram and Twitter. What's your Instagram and Twitter? Are they both Mary Reber?
It's Mary S. Reber on Instagram, and then it's Alice Tremond on X.
Oh, there you go. And you had some rock stars come through here recently, right?
I did. I had Mike Portnoy, yes. Who was originally with Dream Theater, now with the Winery Dogs. He's the biggest of the geeks that has ever. I
cool.
love it. I love the geeks, and I mean that in a very kind way. He loved it. It meant something to him. Equally, his music means a lot to me.
Uh-huh.
So we both kind of were able to share with each other. And then I had Mark Hunter from Chimera here.
Oh,
and again,
wow,
he's another
cool.
Twin Peaks geek. And I've had a few really interesting people here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I have found musicians love film. That's really their biggest love.
Oh, really?
Musicians love film. Equally, a lot of people who love film like music. Everybody likes music. Music draws people together.
Okay, yeah.
David's music that he chose for this was incredible, too. That was, from what I understand, 2 days on a soundstage down in L.A.
Hmm.
And so he picked some really cool people for that as well.
Yeah.
But, anybody...
That's cool. And you, if people want to take a tour of the home, they should contact you through the social
media. Contact me through social media. We'll set up a time because I want to make sure I'm here for them. It's not exactly a hop, skip, and a jump from North Bend, as you know, like the way they make it look like in the finale.
Beautiful. Yeah, like no, it isn't.
Like you're going past the double R and I'm like 5 minutes away. It's not that close.
It's a beautiful drive, though. But yeah,
it is gorgeous.
It takes a minute.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Okay, so contact, and I'll put the links in the show notes on the social medias and such. And I, of course, follow you already. I eagerly anticipate someday hopefully seeing this book come to life. That'd be beautiful.
I need to get cracking on that.
Yeah, it's not easy, I can tell you that
much.
It
isn't. You got to have your moments of feeling like there's something there to...
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes the passion will hit you and you just, hours will sit there and just...
That's right.
Then weeks can go by and, you know, anyway.
But you have something to say, so it should be...
Yeah, yeah,
should be
yeah.
written down.
That's awesome. So, well, thanks again. I appreciate it. I look forward to getting the show out there, and I can't wait to take a tour of this beautiful home of yours. Thank you.
You're gonna see it.
I can't wait.
Yeah, yeah.
We're drinking Kyle MacLachlan's Pursued by Bear wine here.
Oh, it's the best.
It's so good.
There's nothing like talking about Twin Peaks and drinking Kyle MacLachlan's wine, Pursued by Bear.
My plan is I want to drink so much wine that I pass out on the floor and you have to let me stay the night here. That's the plan.
I knew it. I
didn't get a hotel room or nothing,
that's
so
right.
Here we go.
All right. You're very welcome.
All right, thanks, Mary. Appreciate
it. Okay.
All right, man. Thanks for listening. I'll be posting some links in the show notes that you've got to check out. We got Mary's social medias where you can follow her. Her Twitter is at Alice Tremond. The Instagram is at Mary S. Reber, R-E-B-E-R. Follow her now while I talk to you for a couple minutes. She posts some fun Twin Peaks photos. And what I don't think she mentioned it on the interview, but when we were doing the tour, she showed us a ton of really cool behind-the-scenes photos and how they were preparing to film in the house. And she showed me and Josie these photos. We're sitting in her living room, which is AKA the Palmer dining room. You know, I'm basically sitting in the iconic scene in Fire Walk With Me when Leland grabs Laura's hand. And I see dirt way down there under that fingernail. But yeah, she's got a bunch of cool merch there. I scooped up a shirt. I'll have to post that on Instagram. Some really cool artisan pins and fan art and. I picked up all these things, right? I'm scooping all of it up. I got a signed book. She made an appearance also in this book that talks about the women of Twin Peaks. And, you know, and she's going to write that book. I know she's going to write this book. So I'm sure she'll be dropping news on her socials, and I'll be definitely picking up a copy of that. So, yeah, follow her on all the social medias. The links are in the show notes. And also take a listen if you want more. The Breaking Social Norms, we did an episode where we talked about traveling up to Snoqualmie. It's also... because we went to Snoqualmie, Monroe, Everett, where the Laura Palmer home is, and then we went down to Tacoma. And I got a fun story about how yours truly was discriminated against in Tacoma, right? Not too granola woke up there, as much as I thought it was going to be. My theory is because I showed up looking like a scumbag without sleeves. And, you know, hey, I get it. But it was a fun story. So you can listen to that, too, if you want more of this talk about going up to Washington. And I think Josie might have some photos. Yeah, Josie posted a bunch of photos on her Instagram at the Wise Hops. You can check out the photos. Coolest area. One of the coolest places in the whole country I've been. So, yeah. All right. Links are in the show notes for all the stuff. Till next time, stay woke.